Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lentz, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part two of Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel 15:24 through 16:14, called Persevering Through Trials.
I'll tell you this, Jim Carrey had a dark attitude, and here's why. He showed up there and he said, she said, good to see you here. And he said, I just decided to find the most meaningless event that was happening and attend it. She goes, well, what do you mean? Oh, this is all meaningless. Everything we're doing here is meaningless. In fact, I'm just a field of energy. Something or someone or whatever gave me a name and a personality, but none of this is real. You're not real. She's not real. He's not real. Nothing's real. So this began to circulate around some of the news agencies, and they were trying to figure out if he was serious or not. And he looked angry and depressed, and he tried to clarify what he meant in a later interview, and pretty much what he said is what he meant. He has no hope, no meaning. He doesn't know what life is really about. Now, this is Jim Carrey. You would think if you hung out with Jim Carrey one night, it'd be a pretty fun night. Because what philosophers and authors and people who have gotten to the top of the mountain with fame and fortune, and you would think hanging out with a comedian like Jim Carrey would be a lot of fun. And do you know what? Based upon that interview and interviews afterwards, he's a miserable wreck. You know why? He doesn't know what life's about. He's got success. He's got fame. He's got money. And he thinks he's a field of energy that something somewhere gave him a personality and nothing's real. Life's an illusion. What? You see, this is what we're talking about when we're talking about worldview. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about whether or not you know the God who made you. You know what truth is. You know what life's about. You know what a transcendent cause is. Everybody with me? This is real life. And if you don't have a transcendent cause and you don't know the truth, which Jesus said would set you free, you will be bound by these silly philosophies that will take you nowhere. They're a dead end. That's all they are. Now, David, in the trial of his life, we pick up the story as he is crossing the Kidron. This is verse 23, 2 Samuel 15. While all the country was weeping with a loud voice, 15:23, all the people passed over or crossed over. The king also passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. They were headed probably in the direction of Jericho. And so, one thing I wanted to share with you is, I'm just going to give you some little nuggets, is trials help us to pass over with further dependence on God. Do you think trials help us to pass over thresholds with further dependence on God? Do you think that David maybe had taken for granted his throne? Do you think that maybe David had taken for granted that he'd wake up every day in Jerusalem and that everything would be the same? I think so. I think for a while, when we get comfortable and we get in a routine, and David was even in Jerusalem when kings normally were at war. That's when he got himself in trouble with Bathsheba. I think he began to take for granted his throne and everything that God had given him. He had forgotten who he was. And now, with this great trial, there's a lot of psalms that are credited to this time. I shared Psalm 3 with you last Sunday, which its heading says, when David was running from Absalom. That's when he wrote it. Sometimes God will produce in us things that even help others. He will comfort us in all our trials or all our struggles. He's the God of all comfort so that we can comfort others who are going through their own trials. So it's just more than just our own internal maturation. It's also that we can help minister to others. So trials can help mature you, but then they can help you minister to others. I mentioned to you the Kidron Valley marked a boundary going outside the city of Jerusalem. You're heading east towards the Mount of Olives. A heavy time for everyone. David's heavy walk across the Kidron Valley is steps that Jesus would actually take the night that he was betrayed. They're gapped by 1,000 years. And when Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley, which is John 18:1, he headed into the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane literally is a name for an olive press. It's a part of the olive press. Here's what happens. They take olives and they throw them into something that's called a sea or a round basin. And then with something like basalt rock pulled by a beast of burden like a donkey, what happens is the large round stone begins to crack the olives open. And then literally a Gethsemane, which is kind of a rectangular shaped, almost like pillar, smashes the olives, and through out the bottom of this contraption runs the olive oil. When Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." And Luke records that he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood to the ground. Here's the picture. The Gethsemane was coming down on Jesus in Gethsemane. And he was the precious olive, if you will, preparing to deal with the horrors of the cross, which he was recoiling from. And David walked that same walk. He walked out of the city, crossed the Kidron Valley, which means murky or dark or gloomy, into the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's interesting, scholars believe that the Garden of Gethsemane may have been a place that David regularly prayed. Isn't that interesting? Maybe Jesus picked this spot because that's where David prayed. And Jesus is the greater David. And interestingly enough, there are some sources that believe that David wrote Psalm 23 in light of Absalom's rebellion and the crossing of the Kidron. Now, I want you to hold that thought. Turn to that famous psalm. Let's read it in light of this information and see what we see here. Psalm 23, it's a psalm of David. You all know it probably really well. But with some, maybe just a little different perspective, let's read it together. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And if you want to say it with me, you can. "I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Let's pause for a second. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you know that there's some sources that believe the valley of the shadow of death is the Kidron Valley? There's a cemetery there. There was a lot of death that went on around the Kidron. And in fact, the blood of the sacrifices that were sacrificed in the temple in Jerusalem ran down through a drain into the Kidron Valley. So it was kind of a valley of blood, a place of death. It means gloomy, dark, murky. Could it be that David wrote Psalm 23 as he was running from Absalom? And he said, verse 4, "I will walk through," he crossed the Kidron, "I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The death is not the end. "And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." David is under the disciplinary hand of God right now, but he knows he's finding comfort in the fact that God is doing it for his purposes. "Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Absalom had become an enemy. "Food is going to be brought to David by Ziba in the wilderness. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." And then let's read verse 6 together. "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Would you turn back to 2 Samuel? Interesting, isn't it, to just see what the backdrop may well be as David wrote these famous words. David was going through the trial of his life, but God was his focus. And that's what I want to say to you this morning, that when you're going through a trial, and you may be in one right now, and if you're not in one, you'll be in one soon. Amen? It's kind of how life is, right? That we try to zero in on God as we go through these times of trial. Now, in 2 Samuel 15, and we're going to have to move through the account quickly, because you all know that Pastor Michael has gotten through one of the verses that we're supposed to be covering this morning. So, verse 24, chapter 15. Now, behold, Zadok also came, and all the Levites with him, carrying. And I want you just to notice, at least they had learned their lesson. They were carrying now the Ark of the Covenant of God. Remember, they brought it in on a cart in chapter 6, and Uzzah tried to steady it when it was kind of wobbling, and it killed him. God killed him because they didn't do things the proper way. The Levites were to carry the ark on poles. We've been through that before. They've learned their lesson. All it takes is one of your companion Levites to die, and I think you get it.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Did you miss part of today's message? You can always listen again on demand. Catch every teaching from Pastor Michael Lance on the Walk in Truth app, or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's an easy way to keep growing in God's Word and stay grounded in biblical truth throughout your week. Just search for Walk in Truth and start listening anytime.
Your financial support helps keep Walk in Truth on the radio, and it also helps us reach people all over the world through the podcast. That means someone driving home from work, someone on a morning walk, or even someone on the other side of the globe can hear the hope of Jesus right when they need it most. And here's the cool part, every gift helps. Even a small step like becoming a monthly partner for just $5 a month makes a big impact. Think about it, for the price of less than one coffee, you could help keep Bible teaching going out day after day. So would you join us? Head over to walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com and become a partner today. And thank you.
We'd love to hear from you. If today's teaching on Walk in Truth encouraged you, challenged you, or raised a question, reach out and let us know. Send your comments, reactions, or questions to contact@walkintruth.com or give us a call at 844-48-TRUTH. Your story and feedback matter, and they help us continue equipping believers to apply God's truth to their daily walk. That's contact@walkintruth.com or 844-48-TRUTH. We look forward to hearing from you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
We're supposed to be covering this morning. So, verse 24, chapter 15. Now, behold, Zadok also came, and all the Levites with him, carrying. And I want you just to notice, at least they had learned their lesson. They were carrying now the Ark of the Covenant of God. Remember, they brought it in on a cart in chapter 6, and Uzzah tried to steady it when it was kind of wobbling, and it killed him. God killed him because they didn't do things the proper way. The Levites were to carry the Ark on poles. We've been through that before. They've learned their lesson. All it takes is one of your companion Levites to die, and I think you get it. Anyway, they set down the Ark of God. So they had taken the Ark out of the city, which represented God's presence. It's the Ark of the Covenant of God, God's covenant with Israel, his covenant with his people. God is a covenant-keeping God. And Abiathar came up until all the people had finished passing from the city. It brought the Ark out like they would in times of battle as a blessing representing God's presence. But you can't put God in a box, literally. The Ark was the only piece of furniture, by the way, that was in the Holy of Holies. And God said, I will meet with you above the mercy seat. And in the Ark was the Ten Commandments, and there was the jar of manna and the staff of Aaron that had budded. And you think about just what this means. God says, I'll meet with you there. And the significance of having the ark would have been comforting, I think, to me, to know that this piece of furniture represented God's presence. But notice what the king says. He says, 25, the king said to Zadok, "Return the ark of God to the city, i.e. where it belongs. If I find favor in the sight of the Lord, then he will bring me back again and show me both it and his habitation." David says, take the ark back. I think that's an incredible act of faith. Put the ark where it belongs. And if God is gracious to me, and the word grace here is the same we understand in the New Testament, if he gives me unmerited favor, if he's benevolent towards me, I will see it again. I will return again and see the city and see the ark again. I will see the place wherein God, it's set up for God's holy dwelling, if you will. David was hopeful that God would bring him back. And he was hopeful because God is a God of grace. Psalm 30, verses 4 through 6 says, "Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones. Give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Now as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved." Psalm 30, verses 4 through 6. David, all the people were weeping. Weeping may last for a night, but joy, it comes in the morning. But David says, 26, if he should say thus, "I have no delight in you." Let's say that God decides he doesn't want to show me grace. "Behold, here I am. Let him do to me as seems good to him." Do you think David's faith is growing? David says, send the ark back. I'm not going to use the ark as some magical good luck charm. It's going to be where it belongs because I believe that God is with me and he will never leave me or forsake me. The Lord is with me. His rod and staff are comforting me right now. Bring the ark back. Let God do to me what he sees fit. Jesus in the garden, same basic area. "Father, I want the cup to pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." "Father," can I put it this way? Do to me what seems best to you. I submit to you. Do you see how David is foreshadowing Jesus? Have you come to the point, it's a hard point to come to, where you might be in a trial and you want something to go a certain way? We all do. We all have our hopes. We all, you know, we have a direction that we'd like to see God move. But can you say, "Lord, just do what seems best to you"? That's faith. Faith is not treating God as though he is some bellhop in the sky that you order around. I know some preachers are trying to tell you that. That's a lie. God is God. You are not. If you want to change positions with him, good luck. But he's God. He's Lord. And David has resigned himself incredibly to say, "I know what I want, but let the Lord do what seems good to him. Let God be God. I know his plans are good." This is an incredible statement. I think David has grown a ton. The king also said to Zadok, the priest, "Are you not a seer?" 27, "Return to the city in peace, you and your two sons with you, your son Ahimaaz and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. See, I am going to wait at the fords of the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me." Therefore, Zadok and Abiathar returned the ark of God to Jerusalem and remained there. David was also trying to be wise. He knew he needed some people loyal to him back in the city. And this would probably convince Absalom that these two priests were on his side, which many people were converting over. And David, 30, went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went. His head was covered. You can imagine Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane with the heaviness, with the cries and tears and asking for the Father to remove the cup, head covered. David's head was covered. He walked barefoot, both signs of grief and despair. Then all the people who were with him each covered his head and went up weeping as they went. There were thousands of people crying. It was a procession of tears because they all were wondering what was going to happen. They all were anticipating a bloody civil war. They were all looking at the heart of the king saying, can you believe it? His own son. And many people knew that God was taking David to the woodshed and that the bigger picture was the sovereignty of God and that God had told David, because of what you've done, you're going to have some trials. Climbing up the mountain of trials is taxing, isn't it? It seems like, you know, when we're going up a mountain of trials, if you will, it seems like it just keeps going and going. Tears flowed that day, many tears. The Bible says A.W. Tozer was written in tears, and to tears it will yield its best treasures. Close quote.
You've been listening to Persevering Through Trials, Part 2 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel 15:24 through 16:14. You can email Pastor Michael with questions or prayer requests at contact@walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, sometimes when you're in a trial, you may think, okay, maybe this trial is all about God just wanting to grow me. And maybe this trial is about a change that I need to make in my life. And you know what? It could be both. And the question I think we have to ask is, if it's a change that I need to make, well, does that become obvious in the midst of the trial? In other words, is there some adjustment I need to make? Is there something that I've chosen to do that this is the fallout of? And in David's case, I think he knew that Absalom's rebellion was part of the judgment of God. So in that case, you know, David had to just do his best to navigate through it and to navigate through it, looking to the Lord. But sometimes when we're going through something, there may be something God's trying to point out to us. In other words, it could be a discipline. Hebrews chapter 12 does say that God disciplines the one in whom he delights. 1 Corinthians 11 talks about some people in the Corinthian church who were going through it, sick, and even had died because of their dishonoring the Lord's Supper and really dishonoring the people of God and God himself. And so I think you can weigh this by your Bible first and foremost. You can weigh it by the sense that you have from the Holy Spirit. But you want to test it, of course, always by your Bible. And, you know, you might need to get some good counsel and get some prayer. And you may even need to go to some brothers or sisters and confess some sin and get prayer so that you may be healed, which is what James 5 talks about. So I hope that's helpful. If you're going through a trial right now, sometimes it's hard to discern. But what we can know is if we're in a trial, God has allowed it. It's passed through the filter of his love. And it will and can be productive, I should say, if we will just simply bow to what the Lord is doing. This Walk in Truth is Michael Lance. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, you may be brand new to this broadcast. We have, it go out on podcasts and different times and radio stations. And if we are new to you, we just want to say hi and welcome. What you're hearing comes from the pulpit of Living Truth Christian Fellowship in the city of Corona. And our style is to teach through books of the Bible in an expository fashion so that you can be encouraged and see what the Holy Spirit led the writer to put down and what order, etc. And we pray as a team, it's being encouraging and helpful and even challenging for your faith to grow you. And one way you can get to know us better is by going to the website, which is walkintruth.com. There you can find out things about the ministry, even how you can partner, how you can submit prayer requests, how you can find out info about the church behind Walk in Truth. It's walkintruth.com. Check it out today, and we'll see you right here tomorrow.
Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your financial partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast for free.
Also, more people like you can dive deeper into the Word of God and apply it to their life. Please consider becoming a Walk in Truth monthly partner of at least $5 a month, or give a one-time gift. Please visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for part 3 of Persevering Through Trials.
Here comes this dude, and he's on another ridge opposite and maybe above David, and he comes out and starts cursing up a storm. I don't know what he was saying, but we're going to get a little bit of it. But he began not only cursing, but he was throwing stones at David, verse 6. And all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men were at his right hand and at his left. Everybody's weeping and crying. David's getting information. Ziba comes up with some resources. But then, you know, all of this is happening. Mephibosheth apparently has jumped ship as well. There's the coup is on. And here's Shammai up with the stones. David!
I'm Mike Massaro. Thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.